Hi, my name is Steve Martile, and this is How to Create Your Life Intentionally by Quieting the Mind. It's an interview with Susan James. I hope you enjoy the interview. Okay, perfect. So we're just coming on 8 o'clock, and we're going to just about start the call. For those of you on the line right now, I'd appreciate if you could press star 6 to mute the line. This is a special call tonight. I'm going to be having a call with Susan James, and it's How to Create Your Life Intentionally by Quieting the Mind. So today is Tuesday, December 28th, and we're getting near the end of the year. And I thought, what a perfect time to be talking about creating peace of mind so that you can more intentionally create your life. And that's why we brought Susan James on the call. Susan is a master self-discovery trainer and self-discovery expert, and she's been one since 2001. She is, you know, it's interesting with Susan says she's part of the, not the personal development or personal growth or self-development industry. She said she's part of the human potential movement, which I think is an awesome way to put it. There's this movement and awareness of people, and she'll tell you more about that. Susan James is someone I'd met back in September, and actually we were together with Blogging for Coaches, and as we started working together, we started to build this relationship, and we worked together about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and we started working on some things that, you know, you think that you know it all, and at some point you realize that you don't. And so Susan and I started working together and on some of my limiting beliefs, and some of the things that have happened have been pretty crazy and pretty dramatic. You know, getting an increase in blog traffic without doing any marketing, out of all ways that traffic could come without doing marketing. And then just some of my relationships with my parents, just being at ease and not just irritated, just being okay with the way things have been going with my parents. So, and I've been in contact with them quite a bit lately. So that's been was a pressing point, and it seemed to be a lot more fun lately, which is really nice. So anyways, without any sort of delay, let's get into the call. I want to welcome Susan James to the call.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's very good to be with you this evening.
So, Susan, this is the process that you teach, and I think our, you know, I've been in the personal growth the last 4 years and been reading books and doing training, and I've probably done over $20,000-$30,000 at least of training, and out of all the trainings that I've done in terms of training and self-growth and improvement, I've actually never come across something as simple and elegant that of what you've been teaching. So how did you, I guess maybe this we can start is where did you discover it yourself, and what's the background, and where did it come from?
Well, basically, Steve, just to give you a little background, I, as you might be able to tell, I'm originally from England, and in 1981, I moved to California, and I moved there with my boyfriend at the time, who was from Belgium, and we were so looking for the American dream. We were just gung-ho, we were bright-eyed, we were bushy-tailed, and we arrived in California, and within a couple of years, we started our first company, and then not long after, our second company. And we worked very, very hard. I sort of joke, I say between my early 20s and my early 30s, I only worked half a day, you know, meaning 12 hours a day. It was work,
right.
Work, work. And I woke up one day in about 1989, and I looked around, and I was personally bankrupt. One of the companies was completely gone. The other one was, there wasn't really much of it left, and the relationship was over. And I looked around and I said, wow, this looks more like a nightmare than it does, you know, the American dream. And so that was really what started my quest or my search for understanding why it was that two seemingly similar people with similar backgrounds, similar potential and opportunities, why one of them would become so successful, and the other one would turn up as a druggie in the gutter, I mean, literally. And so that, as I say, started my search, my path, which is now, of course, really a path of self-discovery. And I spent the next probably 10 years looking at 10, 12 years, you know, reading the books, you know, the Tony Robbins, all the books out there, all the tapes. In those days, it was cassette tapes that we were listening to. And I went to seminars, I went to workshops, and I definitely made progress. I definitely moved forward. But still, all I kept hitting up against was myself. And what I didn't understand at the time was that it was my limiting beliefs. And anyway, cut a long story short, I came to Florida and I met the man who's now my husband, and he is the person who created the self-discovery life mastery process. And he, through his own research, through his own learning about how consciousness works, he tapped into a very simple strategy. We have 13 basic self-discovery techniques. And they basically address the three forces that our consciousness is made up of. And that is, number one, awareness, self-awareness. Number two is limiting beliefs and sabotage patterns. And number three is empowerment, connecting to the vision, living more from the heart. And basically, that's sort of where it, in a thumbnail, that's really sort of how it came about. And since 2001, which is when he and I first met, within about 5 months, we had started our first workshop. And since then, we've had nearly 3,000 people who have gone through our training process. We, at the time, were very broke, and we didn't really have two pennies to rub together, but we had this vision. And that vision, believing in that vision, doing whatever it took to make that vision real, using the techniques that we were training other people in, has what resulted in us now having great success in our life. We have an amazing trainer team of self-discovery trainers, and we train people from all parts of the world. And the one common thing that all the participants who come to self-discovery, what the common denominator they all have, is that they realize that there is something that is past their mind. And they are ambitious. They are looking to get past themselves, if that makes sense to the listeners. And you could say that what my husband has done is he's put together a strategy that really takes Eastern teachings and puts them in a format that is very appropriate and effective for a Western lifestyle. So I trust that gives a little bit of a little bit more of a picture of what self-discovery is about.
Yeah, and we'll get into more of the actual experience of it. You had promised when we spoke earlier about doing an exercise on how to quiet the mind, and we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, great. I got this strong desire and this impulse, and I should just probably say this before I get into this. If there's any new callers coming on, if they could press *6 to mute the line, that would be awesome. At the end of the call, we'll be more than happy to answer some of your questions. So, Susan, one thing that came really strongly to me when you were explaining about the self-discovery techniques and about awareness and the three areas of, as you mentioned, awareness, consciousness, and limitations.
Actually, if I may, Steve, it's awareness, limitation, and empowerment. And the self-discovery process is not some made-up system. It's really about understanding how human beings function. Because you and I look different, we sound different, we've had different life experiences, but how you function, how I function at our core level is exactly the same. And one other thing, if I can just squeeze in at this point, is that the thing that makes this process very, very unique is that our training begins where all other trainings end, because other trainings and books and workshops and so on are dealing with the mind. They're dealing inside of the mind. This process is about being aware of the mind. And as you mentioned earlier, I'm more than happy to walk the listeners through a very simple technique that will support them in being able to quieten their mind instantly, actually, and be able to manage themselves. So please go ahead.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to that. Okay, so the thing that came to me right away, and I always go with my intuition, is this idea of limiting beliefs.
Uh-huh.
And I have a strong interest in it, and always willing to learn more about it. I'm very curious about it. And the reason it's for me, and I'd like you to talk a little bit more about limiting beliefs and how they affect their reality.
Absolutely. Well, we live in an energetic universe, Steve. The whole universe is energetic. Everything in this universe is made up of energy and information. Now, you and I are different, the same energy, but we're different information. We're the same energy as a volcano, as a galaxy, as a table, as a chair, but we're different information. And so as an energy field, what we do is we attract or create our reality by whatever's going on inside of our body. So what happens as we're growing up is that something happens. Mommy says, oh, you naughty little boy, or daddy says, shush, you know, don't cry. And so it doesn't feel good. So what we do as a strategy in order to be able to survive is that we press down or we repress in our physical body the resistance, that which does not feel good. And as we go through life, we accumulate this stress in the body. And literally our beliefs, our sabotage patterns, and our beliefs, by the way, if they're good or bad, our sabotage patterns, which tend, of course, to be limiting, these all get stored in our physical body. And whatever it is that we are vibrating at is what we attract. And so have you noticed on a day when you get out of bed and you feel great, everything works. You drive to work and traffic just flows. The client comes in and he says, you know what, Steve, I want to move forward with that project we were talking about last week. The check arrives in the mail. The family are all excited. So things really work when we feel good, right?
Absolutely.
And then there's the other type of day. And some people say, well, I have an awful lot more of the bad type of day. And those are the days when we get up, we feel down, we're depressed, we just don't feel good about ourselves. And guess what? Those are the days when everything goes wrong. And, of course, the common denominator is us. Now, if I could just segue into a little bit of physics right now, the construct of the universe that we are in is dual in nature. You cannot have day without night. You can't have good without bad. You can't have peace without war. Now, that really means that us feeling bad is just as valid as us feeling good. But of course, we don't like feeling bad. Some people so much don't want to feel bad, they're trying to feel good all the time, and that's just a little bit like totally negating night. So when the night falls at the end of the day, it's like saying, no, 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 I don't want the night to come, but you have to go through the night to get to the next day. It's just very simple. I heard Deepak Chopra probably about a year ago talking on, I think it was Real Time with Bill Maher, and what Deepak was saying was that one of the most stressful things that a human being can do is to be positive. Because if you feel like shit, excuse my French, on the inside, and you're trying to be all happy and positive, you're completely misaligned with yourself. So in my world, the most important thing or the most important strategy to be able to develop as a human being is to become aligned with yourself, to become aligned between your heart and your mind. And to the degree a person is aligned is the degree to which their life works and they create their reality deliberately. And that also, of course, ties into being able to manage your mind, being able to manage your thoughts rather than them managing you. Do you know what I mean by that, right, Steve?
Yeah, well, and I know exactly what you mean. And I was just thinking about this idea of expressing negative thoughts, because one of the things I've talked a lot about on my blog is raising your vibration and feeling good. And what the insight that I've got out of this conversation at this point is that it is about that. It is about feeling good. It is about raising your energy, but it's not about ignoring your negative feelings. It's not about pushing them down and forgetting about them and expecting it to go away.
Right. It's a little bit like if I say to you, Steve, don't think of a pink elephant. You know, the first thing you're going to do is think about a pink elephant. You cannot deny, well, you can. A lot of people try desperately to deny the shadow, as we call it. But when you deny the shadow, all you're doing is just pushing your karma off, and you're going to have to deal with it later. So, in fact, the most effective strategy to have is one where you can manage your limiting beliefs. Now, the way that you do that is by becoming aware of them. Now, just becoming aware of them and thinking about them, you know, there's a lot of people out there, you included, you're aware of your limitations. But if you cannot release them from your body, then you are still trapped in that cycle of pattern, that negative pattern. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And so then you end up doing the self-sabotage. You have the destructive behaviors.
Right.
You're operating on automatic.
You're absolutely operating on automatic. So the thing, probably, I mean, everything we do is highly effective, but one of the things that is probably a real key to this, and this is what makes us very unpopular with some people, is actually looking at the shadow. Because, Steve, when you become aware of your limitation and you release it from your head or your neck or your body, wherever it's stored, you release those contracted energy particles, then what you are left with is naturally the ideal. You don't have to try to be positive or try to feel good, because you're just naturally left with that once you have shifted and let go of the resistance. It's like having a pile of crap on a beautiful piece of painted floor. If you take away that crap, then you're just left with that beautiful ideal floor. Does that make sense?
Right. So
there's no efforting. You know, there's no efforting. And this is what causes struggle for human beings and suffering, is them being trapped in their minds. And by the way, the reason they're trapped in their minds is very simply because they don't want to feel what is going on in their body. And not only that, when they're not connected to their body and they're living in their mind, they're thinking about life, they're not eating, they're thinking about other things while they're eating, or they're sitting in the office thinking about home, or at home they're thinking about the office. Human beings aren't actually where their body is. Their attention is in one place and their body is in another place. So when those two come together, then there's alignment and flow and connection. You know, everyone's had a few moments of feeling connected in zone. You know, maybe when that was in nature, maybe it was making love, maybe it was eating a wonderful meal. They've had those moments. For some people, it's just been flashes of those moments. And one of the reasons I'm here to tell everybody who's listening is that you can live in the zone. You can make being in the flow your natural way of living. And some people believe that that is actually how we can live, and how maybe that's what life's about, being able to attain that level of whatever you want to call it, whether it's self-mastery or enlightenment or connection, whatever it is you want to call it. You can call it peanut butter for all I care.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah, and so just to put it, in a sort of, I guess, a metaphor to explain it, the way in terms that I understand is that this connection, being connected, is about, let's say, you know, being connected is a 10 out of 10, and then being not connected or disconnected from life, or what you called, Susan, you know, running from your head as opposed
uh-huh.
to for the rest of you, is a 1.
Uh-huh.
Then there's that disconnect. You know, being in the flow is being a 10 more of the time,
uh-huh.
you know, and being in that flow. And I can relate to what you're saying, because I've been in situations where, you know, my heart was saying, you know, I had this feeling, strong feeling in my chest area, and even in a little bit in my head, just saying, you know, go for it, do it. But then there was a body feeling somewhere, you know, in my abdomen or in my lower back that was, you know, just tension and just saying, no, don't do that. Like, you know, the sort of the angel and the devil or whatever you want analogy
Absolutely.
You want to use.
Absolutely.
And it's so it's continually this, there's this struggle because it's never completely in the flow, like the way you've been explaining. And I completely understand that. It makes
sense.
Yeah.
And a couple of things, Steve. First of all, there actually really is no getting there. There's, as long as you're on this planet, you have to have resistance in your body, because without resistance in your body, you just go poof into the white light. Yeah. If that makes sense. So there is no guessing there. You know, the mind thinks, oh, there's somewhere to get to. But really, life is about a process. It's about who you become. It's not about the destination. It's the growth. And, you know, the thing people have, and of course at this time of year it's probably quite appropriate to talk about this, is that a lot of people at this time of the year, they look back on the past year and they evaluate their results, you know, what it is that they have created this year, what they feel good about, you know, what are some of the things they'd like to see less of in the future.
I need some green beans and potatoes.
And as they prepare for the upcoming year, you know, they're going to be setting new goals and new intentions. And one of the things that people sort of say, well, why is it that when I set a new goal, that everything else other than the goal seems to show up? And the answer is very simple. Again, it's duality. The minute that you set yourself a new limit or a new boundary or a new goal, then the only reason you are not already there is because of the limiting beliefs and the sabotage patterns. So it is normal for those to reveal themselves, which is great because they're revealing themselves so they can be shifted and you can go ahead and create that new reality.
Right?
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, you mentioned to me on a call earlier last week, you said, you know, what's the only difference between you and the Prime Minister of Canada is that our limiting beliefs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And not always limiting. They can be expanded also. But absolutely, the only difference between anybody is our beliefs.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I just heard someone talking there. If you could press *6, that would be fantastic so that everyone can hear the call. That's great. Thank you. Okay, so you know what, Susan? Maybe this is the perfect time. You know, okay, I want to summarize a little bit about what you talked about before we get into this, into quietening the mind exercise.
Yes.
One is that, you know, you talked about the different, this keeps coming at me, the limiting beliefs, and then being that part of it, in order to release, it's not just being aware of your limiting beliefs, which a lot of people are.
Right.
It's about being aware of them and releasing them, or what the words you used were, look at the shadow. Then the other thing of it is that, you know, if you're like me, and I consider myself to be a pretty average, normal human being, is that the main thing that a lot, you know, one of the things that happens is when negative energy or negative feelings come up, I automatically want to repress them. It's
right.
Just, you know, it's like I want to avoid them.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's a good segue into this quieting the mind. You know, how do you deal with that? If you've got these negative energy or these negative feelings, what do you do with them? Or how do you manage that? You know what I mean?
Well, the first step is to become aware of them. And, you know, there's that little saying that whatever you resist persists. And so the more that people don't want to experience something, the more they're headed towards it. And so I believe, and obviously I believe this, otherwise I wouldn't be doing every day what it is that I do, which is train people in our techniques, that developing a strategy to be able to release them is really a key. Now, you can only do that when you're being aware. Now, in any moment, Steve, a human being has their attention in one of two places. That's either in the mind, which is thinking and judging. Now, nothing wrong with any of it, by the way. You know, one of the things we say is just be aware, whether you're thinking, you know, whatever it is you're doing, just, you know, see how aware you can become of it. But in any moment, you're either thinking, which is actually delusion. It is not even the past, it is your perception of the past. You know, you and I could be sitting on a balcony.
I'm listening to something. I can't eat here.
Whoops. We got some other conversations going on, other than the ones that are going on in our head, right? And that's something, listeners, you might want to notice.
Leave it out here.
That you're either hearing what we have to say or you may be listening to what you have to say about what we have to say. So, when you look back at the past, it isn't even actually what happened. As I was mentioning, Steve, you and I could be sitting on a balcony looking at the sky, which could have some blue sky and some clouds in it, And I might look at the sky and all I see is the clouds. And you might look at the sky and all you see is the blue sky. And so there's the same sky, but you and I would have different perceptions or views of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And even to go a step further, like you had said, you know, our thoughts are from the past, but they're also or to the future, but the perception of that, so it's delusional. That blows my mind.
It really is, and it's our only frame of reference. So to the degree a person is living in their mind is the degree to which things don't change. The more that you can develop the ability to be present or live in the moment or be mindful, the more that you can do that, the more you're open to new possibilities. You're open to seeing things differently. So, as I say, your attention is only ever in one of two places. One is the mind and thinking. And the only other place that your attention can be is in the present moment, which means outside of your mind. So the technique that I'm about to walk you through is a very simple technique. It's the foundation of the self-discovery techniques. And we call it present moment awareness. And I'm going to walk you through this exercise, and we're just going to take it a step at a time. So the first thing I'm going to ask you all to do is to just go ahead and take a deliberate breath. Just breathe in and out a couple times. And now look around you. Notice the sights around you. Now, that doesn't mean think about them. Just notice different shapes. Notice different colors. Notice different size of objects. Just look around and notice the sights. Now, if you start thinking about something, just notice that you're thinking about it. And gently shift your attention to a different object and notice it. Explore it with your attention without adding mental words. Just notice the sights around you. And take another breath. When the mind pulls you in, just notice it's doing that. And shift your attention to a different object and notice it. Notice the shadow. Notice the reflections. Just notice the different sights. Now, as you're aware of the sights, now also become aware of the sounds in your environment. Again, that doesn't mean think about them. Just notice the subtleties of sounds around you. As you're aware of the sights, notice the sights and the sounds. And take another deliberate breath. When the mind pulls you in, just notice it's doing that. And shift your attention to a different sight or a different sound. Have your full attention on the sights and the sounds in your environment. If you start thinking about something, just notice and gently shift your attention back to the sights and the sounds. Now, as you're aware of the sights and the sounds, also notice the sense of touch. Become aware of your body on whatever you're on. Notice the clothes against your skin. Perhaps scratch your hand and just notice the sensations. Notice the sense of touch. Go ahead and touch some surfaces around you, maybe your clothes or a table or the chair that you're on. Just notice the sense of touch at the same time that you're aware of the sights and the sounds. Now, if any of you are struggling, just notice that. If you're putting any effort into this, just take another breath. relax and shift your attention to the sights, the sounds, and the sense of touch. Don't try to stop thinking if you're thinking. Just notice that you're thinking and gently shift your attention back out to the sights, the sounds, and the sense of touch. Get your full attention in the present moment. And what do you notice, Steve? How does that feel?
It feels great. I just noticed that the voice in my head started to, at first it was sort of chomping away, and it was saying, oh, I hear this background noise, and oh, it was someone else talking upstairs, and I was sort of paying attention to that, and then I didn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm. And how do you feel?
Connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know if you want to maybe ask any of the listeners if they've got anything they'd like to share at this point or if they have any questions.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Is there anyone who's, if you want to share any insights or any anything you got out of that so far, then just hit *6 to unmute yourself.
It's a profound exercise, Steve, and it's an exercise that for many people, the first time they do it, it can even like be a little bit overwhelming for some people because they just are not aware of what it's like to have their attention out of their head, to be aware of themselves, to be aware of their mind, and
you know that,
to just notice it. And as I'm speaking, if anybody has a question or wants to share their experience, just go ahead and, you know, chime in.
You know, Susan, one thing that that I noticed is, you know, you had been sharing about this, and I don't know if you mentioned this tonight, but one of the things that you had said to me was that you said awareness comes before the thought.
Mm-hmm.
When you said that, I thought, well, how can that be? Because I'm pretty sure I'm thinking, and then, you know, that's first.
Right.
And, when I get into this state of this calmness of mind, and then when everything's sort of quiet, I realized you were right, that when I'm aware, I can hear my thoughts, in other words.
Yeah, you're aware of them. You see, awareness is our most fundamental level of being. Behind everything, behind our doing, behind our thinking, there's awareness. Awareness is the foundation. And it's before anything else. It's like if you have a thought, then before the thought, you're aware of the thought. Like if you look at an object, before you see the object, you're aware of the object, if that makes sense. But it's the most effortless and foundational way of our being is awareness. And from awareness, you can direct your attention to wherever it is that you want to put it. And your attention is what creates your reality. So the more attention you have on something, the more real it becomes. One of the things that, you know, we're starting a new project. We were just meeting today and talking about this new project. And one of my partners was saying how he has a lot of attention on this new project. He's been putting his attention on it, how it feels. And the more attention you put on something and the more you connect to how it feels to get the ideal outcome of whatever it is that you're creating, then the more your intuitive guidance kicks in, the more that your intuition says, wow, I need to call this person, I need to take this action, and the more that a human being is operating from their intuition, from that guidance that's never wrong, that guidance is never wrong, then the more their life flows magically. It's really very magical. That's my experience.
It absolutely is. And if it's okay, I'll share a little story. I have a quick story that happened to me. I was working in this firm, and I was in the office working with a few different people and some of the business owners and some of the engineers. And one of the senior engineers, we've got this young buck coming in. I get in there and running the meeting, and he just started to turn red in the face. And I looked over. I'm like, oh. I thought he was going to blow, and he did. And he got upset with me, and he just let it go. And I walked out of that meeting, and I thought, now, I didn't take it personally, but at the same time, I thought, how the heck did I bring that into my life?
Uh-huh.
And left that meeting. We did some work together. We did some of this present moment awareness, released some limiting beliefs and stored energy that I had around that. And I bumped into the same guy, five, six times in the last 2 weeks. And he's been a real pleasant guy. He's actually a really nice guy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you, the most powerful way to show, well, number one, as Mahatma Gandhi said, be the change you want to see in the world. And when people say, well, oh, but I can't change my husband, or I can't change my boss, or whatever. Well, now, if you don't believe that you can, then that's what you'll see evidence of, because beliefs create our reality. Whatever it is that you believe is what you're going to see evidence of. Now, of course, if you don't believe that beliefs create your reality, then you're going to see evidence for that, which sort of validates the first part of the statement, that beliefs create your reality. But if you believe that you can change something inside of you by becoming aware of whatever resistance you might have to it, then you can change another person. But you can't change them if you're not willing to look at yourself. And earlier I made a reference to how sometimes what we do isn't very popular with some people, because they're just not willing to be real with themselves. They're not willing to look in a mirror and self-discover, as we put it. And because some people are a little bit concerned and afraid of what it is they might find. And the truth is, I think it was it Eisenhower? Somebody said that the only thing to fear is fear itself. And the more that you're willing to look at yourself, the more that you can shift the things that you don't want to see yourself playing out as much as you have, number one. And number two, you could really come to appreciate yourself more. You know, there's a saying in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the Hindu holy book. And by the way, we're not religious. We love all the teachings, and we sometimes quote from different teachings. And in the quote in the Bhagavad Gita, it goes something like this. When one knows the self is a friend. When one does not know the self is an enemy. Can you feel that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing that you said, Susan, about, you know, people responding to, you know, maybe the way we feel inside at some level. I completely in alignment with that philosophy. And even with clients and even people who have sent me emails, they'll say, you know, there's one gentleman in England who was having problems with the boss, and the boss kept doing the same thing. He'd always come over and bark orders, and then he'd walk away and never ask him. He would just tell him, and, you know, the old corporate structure. Structure. It's like, tell people to do, and then if they don't do it, they've got two choices. They can leave or they can do it. And, you know, he was just felt in this victimless state. And I said to him, you know, the reason your boss is occurring to you that way is because of the way you occur to him.
Uh-huh.
And it's sort of it's the same thing that you're saying about this awareness of who you are and how you occur to others. And when you're not aware of how you occur to others, in other words, it blinds completely out of your vision or your perception, you say, why does that happen to me? Why does that keep happening to me? It doesn't matter what job I go to, I always end up being the grunt or whatever it is. And it's because of the way you occur to people. And the exact opposite is true. When you occur is when you start getting the leadership positions, when you start getting into roles where you're taking on projects that you've never taken on before, and you're leading initiatives for the business or the company, you're doing it because of the way you occur. People see you as a leader. And the only reason it's because of the way you occur. It's your way of being. It's not what you're doing. It's not what you're having. It's your way of being.
And that brings up the following, Steve, is that our consciousness is a little bit like an iceberg. You know, most of an iceberg is below the surface, right?
Right.
So our aware mind is what's above the water. But what's actually running the show is what's running in our subconscious or our unconscious mind. So the only way to become aware of what it is that's stored in you, the beliefs that are stored in you, is to look at your external reality. So when somebody shows up in my space and they are behaving in a way that, frankly, I'd prefer not to see, I don't sort of, you know, point a finger, because you know when you point a finger, you know how many are pointing back at you, right? So when somebody's showing up, they'll say, in a way that's less than preferable, then I look at me and I become aware of what it is that I'm feeling and what I'm resisting or not liking, because that is what's creating that person behaving the way they're behaving in my presence. Now, the minute that I shifted in me, it's like a miracle, Steve. People start to shift, like on the spot. It's very, very instant. In fact, the biggest complaint, I don't know if I've shared this with you, the biggest complaint that we have about the self-discovery life mastery process is that it's too effective. And people say, well, what do you mean? I say, well, because, you know, we're wearing this old pair of shoes and they're hurting our feet, but they're so comfortable we don't want to let go of them. Our ego, our mind, it wants to hold on to these strategies that we've developed in order to survive in this life, and it doesn't want to let them go. And,
it's funny.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's funny you're saying that, and I'm thinking, get me a new pair of shoes.
Well, of course, the other side of that coin is that sometimes you put on the new pair of shoes and they can be a little bit tight, right, or not comfortable, you know. But we, you know, the thing that human beings resist the most is change, because the ego loves to be in control. It loves to be certain. It loves to hold on to what it thinks it knows. It loves to justify, to manipulate, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there's nothing wrong with the ego. We just see the ego as a defense mechanism. Nothing wrong with ego. You know, you can cut your arm off and you'll still have an ego. You know, there's no way of not having an ego or a shadow self, if you like. You know, I have a massive ego. You know, my vision is to change the world. You got to have a pretty big, you know, ego to want to do that. But my point is that my ego does not run me. I'm aligned with it, and it doesn't run me. It doesn't run the show. I'm the one that runs the show. But going back to how our beliefs create our reality, as our beliefs are the thing that change our vibration, whatever we're holding on to is attracting the reality around us. And the only way that we can shift that is by becoming aware of it. And as we become aware of a limiting belief, and some of them can be so...
I think we just lost Susan there. Well, I'm sure she'll call back. We'll get her back in just a minute. Susan, are you there?
Am I unmuted?
Yeah, you are. Who's that?
Hi, my name's Joe Tucker. I was just wondering if you could hear me, because I heard some sort of a noise.
Oh, hey, Joe, it's Steve Martilli. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. We just lost Susan for a minute. I'm sure she'll be back in a minute. Did you have any questions for Joe?
Yeah, I do, actually. Well, I've been reading some of your blog posts and watching your videos, and first, I really have to say I'm so impressed that you give out the information that you do free. A lot of programs don't do that, and I really admire that. It's so unselfish to me.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm really glad to hear that, because it's really trying to impact a big number of people, and as Susan said, she's got big goals and she's got a big ego to go with it, but I also do as well. I really want to get the impact a million people just from my blog. So, yeah, I know. I'm glad it's been helpful.
No, yeah, I forgot how I came about it, but ever since the first one, I've been watching, and I'm really enjoying the information.
Excellent. Did you have any questions about what we've been talking about tonight and about quieting the mind and treating your life intentionally and limiting beliefs?
Well, I left a question on one of your blog posts once, but I think I mistyped it. My biggest question about the law of attraction and all of this is sort of literal biological change. I've always been interested in that. I mean, most people want to use it to attract a new car, their relationship, their money status. But if our beliefs and our thoughts control what happens in our life, if I were to believe myself as taller or with perfect teeth or not quite as homely, would that happen?
That's a good question. And, hey, Susan, is that you?
Steve, yeah, it sure is.
Oh, that's...
I think
you're back.
I might be changing my reality deliberately. Technology got the best of me. What can I say? My battery. Anyway, so here I am again. I'm not sure where you lost me or I lost you, but...
Well, you know what? It's all working out perfectly. That gave Joe a chance to come on the line, and he had actually a really good question for you. You still there, Joe?
Perfect. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, well, I was just asking Steve. I've always been interested in the law of attraction and how it applies to us. I mean, everything's connected with energy, right? I mean, everything in the universe is energy. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Energy and information.
Yes. So if our beliefs and our thoughts can control everything around us and what happens in our lives, how does that work on a biological level? Can we change ourselves? I mean, if I believed that I was taller or had perfect teeth or wasn't homely, would that actually happen?
Well, I think it really depends on the domain that you're operating in. You know, I'm very present and very aware, but if I got up on the roof of my house and sort of had an intention to fly off the roof, I'd end up with a big splat on the ground. Are you with me?
Yes.
So it all depends on your level of power and your domain. And so, for example, your teeth you mentioned, you may find if you tap into your intuition that there are some things you can do about that that maybe would include somebody other than just you and your intention. Does that make sense? But
yes.
Tell me a little bit more about your question. So go a little bit deeper.
I'm wondering if it's possible to change your physical appearance using the law of attraction. And I'm also wondering how the law of attraction works scientifically. I've always wondered that because I do believe it. But I was just wondering, I've never really heard it explained on sort of a level of physics or biology, only theory.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, actually, if you look at your life, you'll actually probably see that the things that are in your life are there because you really like them or you don't like them. Does that make sense? You've got some things in your life that you like, right?
Yes, I do.
And you've got some things in your life that you don't like, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. So the only difference between those two is what you believe about them. But again, going back to the physics of the universe, the universe is dual in nature. So you can't have one without the other. You know, if we were just happy all the time, pretty soon that would just become normal, right?
Yes.
And as far as I believe, and this is my belief, that beliefs create my reality. So to the degree that I believe that is the degree to which I experience it. What I'd also ask you to look at, as far as changing your physical physical appearance, I think you mentioned, is that I'd actually ask you what your motivation is for wanting to do that. What would you say your motivation is?
Well, I always never felt like on the inside, how I think I look on the inside reflects what I look like when I look in the mirror. I never felt like my outward appearance reflected how I felt on the inside. I mean, I'm not obese in any way. I'm not homely looking, and I have a fairly average physical appearance, but I just never felt like it matched. And also, I always had a problem that I've never been able to explain since I was very, very small with my name. And I just never understood it. I never liked my name, and I never liked how I looked, and I've just never understood it. It never seemed to match who I am on the inside.
Well, let me ask you a question. What's more important, the inside or the outside?
Well, I think the inside.
Mm-hmm. See, one of the things, Joe, and this is a great question, actually. You know, one of the things about human beings and the society in which we live in is that a lot of people think there's something wrong. A lot of people don't accept themselves the way they are. And a lot of that comes from stuff that happened when you were growing up as a kid. You know, a palm tree does not wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I think I should be an oak tree. Right? You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, human beings, you know, from the minute we, you know, get up in the morning and we jump on the scale, for those ladies who might be listening, that might apply more to us ladies than it does to the men. Or we look in the mirror and we see something that we have judgments about and we think are wrong or bad or there's something, you know, that it should be different than the way it is. But what if, Joe, you were just perfect the way you are? How would that feel?
Well, that would be nice.
It would, wouldn't it? You see, one of the values of that present moment awareness exercise that I just walked you through is
yes.
that when you, to the degree that you live in the moment, is the degree to which everything is just the way that it is. Did
that's,
you feel
that? That is, yeah, and you mentioned this before, Susan, that you said, you know, the same sort of logic, the degree to which you live in your head is the degree to which you suffer, because when you're
absolutely.
Living in your head, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when you're just aware of something, I mean, if you, Joe, listen, can I give you
yes.
a little exercise to do tonight?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so I'm going to, and all of you listening, this is a profound exercise. Just look in the mirror and just become aware of yourself. That doesn't mean think about yourself. Just notice the shape of your head, notice your hair, notice your face. Just be aware of yourself. That quote that I mentioned earlier about from the Bhagavad Gita about, you know, when you know yourself, the self is a friend. You know, to the degree that you know yourself, that you accept yourself the way you are, is the degree to which that suffering is going to come down. You know, listen, guys, we live in a world today, in 2010, where you turn on the television, you open a magazine, you go on the internet, and you see something that's trying to tell you that you should do this, you should buy this, you should look this way, you should weigh this amount, blah, 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 blah. It's like, F that. I'm not going to be too rude or too sweary, but it's like, F all of that. You are who you are. Joe, there is no one in the universe that is just like Joe. Nobody. And there's no one on this planet that has the gifts that you have. I promise you, my friend, every single one of us is here for a reason and a purpose. And I believe that most human beings are living way under their potential. That's why, as you said, Steve, earlier, we are in the human potential movement. You know, sure, you know, if you believe you can spend the next 20 years meditating and shifting your body to be an inch taller or some other bullshit, excuse my French, fine.
But guess what? What if you were just okay the way you were and you put all that attention on fulfilling that vision that is inside of you? I don't know how deeply it is inside of you, but everyone listening to me knows that there's something inside of you that is a passion, that is something that is your unique contribution and gift to this planet. You know, somebody once said that the purpose of life is a life of purpose. Now, before I leave this planet, there's going to be a lot more aware, enlightened human beings. That is going to happen. I'm not leaving until that's happened, because that is what I'm here to do. It's to awaken people to their higher self. You know, if you have any sort of beliefs, Joe, about God or some supreme force or whatever, then, you know that, you know, he, she, it, whatever, didn't put you here because there's something wrong with you. You're perfect just the way you are. But as I say, every day we're listening to people saying, oh, you should be more this and more that. And it starts out when we're kids. You know, bless their hearts. Our parents did the best that they knew how. They learned from their parents. And there's this whole concept and idea that there's something wrong with us. And there is nothing wrong with anybody, not even people who are weirded out and doing all sorts of strange stuff. There's a whole bunch of reasons for that happening, and most of it comes down to them wanting more attention. So what are you getting from this, Joe? What's this bringing up for you? What are you getting from what I'm saying? Am I hitting home somewhere?
You are. I like what you're saying a lot, but I just... I'll have to give it some thought, but I...
Mm-hmm.
I really feel like everything you're saying does make sense, though. I just think that I'm so naturally negative.
Yeah. Welcome to the reality of today's world. And the reason that people are so negative and feel bad is because they're trying to feel good. I don't know. There was some myth somebody made up somewhere along the way that life's about being happy. Well, the more you can let go of that, the more happy you'll be. Because life's just what it is, and the more present you are, the more things are just the way they are. People are the way they are. Situations are the way they are. And the more you can shift your attention to the things that inspire you, that you love to do. You know, people say, well, gosh, I don't know what my purpose is. Well, I say, well, number one, whatever you're doing right now is your purpose for now. And how about starting to look at the things that inspire you? Start looking at things that, you know, they might be right in front of your face and you can't even see them. But the more that you can tap into things that inspire you, to doing things that you love, then the more you follow that thread and you listen to your intuition, then the more fulfilled you'll begin to feel. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with you, my friend. Nothing wrong with any of us. And tomorrow we can be better and create more of whatever it is we're here to create.
Well, Susan, first I just want to acknowledge you both and Joe really for speaking up and asking questions. Thank you.
I'm being so real, Joe. That's a wonderful thing to be.
Yeah, that's something that's missing these days is people who are authentic, and that was awesome. I, you know, when you guys were talking about the difference between being, you know, accepting things or the way that things are, or, you know, accepting the way you physically look and not, that conversation comes up for me, and for me I hear the distinction between being attached and being committed. And being attached is, you know, things have to be a certain way before I move forward and start this business, or things have to be a certain way before I go up to that 10 out of 10 blonde and ask her out on a date, or things have to be a certain way. There's an attachment.
Uh-huh.
It has to be a certain way before you do anything, and it doesn't have to be that way. If you accept things the way they are, then you can move forward with commitment and be detached.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Susan, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, listen, there's two things that motivate human beings, and one is to feel more good, and the other is to not feel bad. Everything we do and say and be is motivated by one of these two. So I believe the most important skills to develop as a human being is to master yourself, because when you master yourself, when you're mastering your being, then everything you do turns out differently, and you can do whatever you want the more you master yourself.
Absolutely. That's the magic in it. That's the magic in it.
It is.
Susan, so how can, you know what, I really want people to know more about what you do, more of the training that you do, and how they can get involved with you.
Absolutely. Well, I'm more than happy to speak with anybody who has heard the call and says, you know what, I'd like to know more about this. You can go to our website, which is selfdiscoverytechniques.com. And perhaps, I don't know if you'll maybe send it out, Steve, as far as the website. And my email address is susan@selfdiscoverytechniques. And my telephone number is 954-873-0144. That's 954-873-0144. And, yes, anybody who can feel that they are awakening and they want to awaken more and they want to really get a different viewpoint and perspective on what this whole life thing is about, then I'd love to chat with you.
Absolutely. And I will post the link, your email address and your phone number at the bottom of this video on my blog so that people can access it and get a hold of you. And just so the people listening to the call are – in tune with this, Susan, who are the people that would be the people? Because, you know, it's one thing to say, okay, here is something that I'm offering to help, you know, become more aware and to see a real serious breakthrough in your life, in all aspects of your life. But it's another thing to say, well, wait a minute, who's perfect for your program? Who's this designed for?
Well, it's designed for the person that has realized that reading a book does not get them to be aware and present or be enlightened or have self-mastery, whatever words you want to use for it, and they're ready to move to the experience. You have to go through the stages of wanting to understand the concepts, but once you understand them and you're talking about them, you know, a lot of people are talking about limiting beliefs, they're talking about creating your reality, but there are very few people who, number one, are doing it, and who have a strategy, and we are clear that this self-discovery technique strategy is the most direct and effective path to self-mastery. If there was something that was more effective, then we would be using it, and it's for the person who's ambitious, who says, you know what, I'm realizing more and more that gathering more nuts or reading more books or whatever else is only getting me so far. And when you have awareness, when you have the ability to be present and aware and manage your consciousness, then you realize more and more that you are your only limitation and you're committed to moving past that. You're committed to fulfilling your potential and to living the life that is fulfilled and meaningful and whatever it is that you want it to be.
Absolutely. And I'll even add in my own two senses, because of my own experience, is that any entrepreneurs that there are, even aspiring entrepreneurs, people who are looking to start a business, maybe they've been looking for a long time. I've talked to people who've had goals for 2, 5, 10 years, sometimes the same goals. And you know, when I talked to Susan, she said, well, you know, if it hasn't showed up yet, then it's probably a limiting belief. And I said, well, yeah, it might have been around for a little while. She said, a little while? It might have been around a lot longer than that.
And you know what I say to people who say, oh, I've had this goal for blah, blah, blah amount of time. I say, well, why don't you just drop it? It's probably heading you in a direction that obviously part of you is not inspired to create, but that taps into the shoulds. Most people are thinking they're doing what they think they should do, or they want to please mommy or daddy or, you know, some teacher in school. You know, nothing wrong with that. But when you get over the fact that you're trying to please the whole world instead of pleasing yourself, you know, to me, being selfish is the most selfless thing to do. You know, if you don't take care of yourself, how can you support other people? If you can't be your best, how can you expect other people to show up being their best. You know, the more you are real you, the more you're authentic, the more you're real, the less you have to stop and think about, well, what am I going to say next? You know, it's like, forget all of that. Just be real. Speak from your heart. And the more that you do that, the more your life is just magical and it unfolds.
Absolutely.
Can I ask something?
Yeah, hi. I'm sorry. Yeah, who was that?
Joe.
Hey, Joe, go ahead.
I was just wondering, so what you're saying essentially is if I were to forget my vanity and the my name and the things that I don't like and focus on what I do like and what I am grateful for, then things will start to go right?
Absolutely. Now, if you wanted to move forward with a strategy, sort of something like, you know, what I'm talking about, then you can actually become aware of your limiting beliefs that you're holding about the things that you don't like. And as you let go of those, then just naturally you will be following your intuition and you'll be following and living your life more from inspiration than from, you know, running from the stick or trying to get away from feeling bad. That makes sense, Joe?
I think so.
Great.
So give me a call,
okay.
Joe, and we'll explore further.
Sure. And that number is your cell phone, office?
It's my cell phone. It's the most direct line to reach me.
Okay.
And I'll give you that
number. I'd really like to...
Go ahead, Joe.
I'd really like to learn more about your program.
Good. I believe it's the best thing on this planet. And if anybody if anybody's not doing what they believe is the best thing on the planet to be doing, then go find the best thing to do for you, which might not
Absolutely.
Be what's right for me or anybody else, you know. You know, you're only going to come through this lifetime once, you know, at least in the form you're in now, at least that's my belief. So why not make the best of it, you know?
Yeah. You only get one kick at the can, as far as we know. So, yeah, go for it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Really fantastic call, Susan. Thanks so much for being on the call. It was a pleasure to have you. I really encourage people to actually get a hold of Susan. It's at selfdiscoverytechniques.com. I'll have a link, like I said, on the bottom of the call recording. And the number you can reach her at is 954-873-0144. Thanks again so much, Susan.
Thank you, Steve. It's been a pleasure, and yes, it's been a pleasure. And thank you for being there to support your callers in creating more and more of the life they want to live.
Absolutely, and I hope everyone enjoyed this call, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Great. Good evening, guys. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
If you want to learn more about the self-discovery techniques, you can reach Susan James at 954-873-0144. And you can also get more information at her website, selfdiscoverytechniques.com. My name is Stephen Martilli at freedomeducation.ca. Thank you.